The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Monday, June 17th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you to tonight's program. Everybody listening by Apple, Spotify, we welcome you. You guys listening by and watching by Rumble, YouTube, or whatever platform you may be watching, we want to welcome you as well. Listen, do me a favor. If you're new, first time joining us, someone invited you into the program, hit that like button, smash that like button for us. Hit the subscribe button, hit that bell notification. Help us push our material out and get others to see our programs. And this is how you can help us do that. And we've got a lot to cover tonight. Guys, if you did not watch our Friday night podcast, I want to encourage you to go back and watch that as soon as possible or listen to it, because today is kind of a continuation of that program, because there was no way we could fit everything we wanted to discuss in one program. It would be a two-hour segment. So there's been some new information come out that I want to share with you that I believe is something that is very newsworthy and something that you and I and all of us need to be aware of. And that is that the House passes a defense bill automatically registering men 18 to 26 years of age. And it's not just men, but in the details of this draft bill that has passed, it also includes women of that age as well.
Age-old issue is reemerging, whether the U.S. should have a military draft. This report from the Washington Post just days ago claiming some in former President Trump's camp specifically are considering bringing back the draft. Now, Trump has since called mandatory military service a ridiculous idea, sharing that the story was a failed attempt to damage him with voters, saying he's, quote, never even thought of that idea. Well, at this point, it has been more than 50 years since anyone has been drafted into the U.S. military. Currently, about 1.3 million people, that is less than 1% of the population, serves in the armed forces. Recruiting Americans to join the military has been tough in recent years. This year represents the smallest active duty force since 1940. And just last year, the military services fell short of the Pentagon's recruiting goal by about 41,000.
In 2022, the U.S. military had its toughest recruiting year since we were doing an all-volunteer military in 1973. Here's the shortfall. Army's goal for 2022 for recruiting was 65,000. They fell short by 15,000 people. That's 23%. Navy's goal was 38,000. They fell short by 10,000. That's minus 26%. Air Force was 27. They fell short by 3,000, minus 11%. Marie, what's really going on here? All right, so let's first take a look at how big our military is today versus in the past before. If you look at this chart here, this goes from 50s till today. Of course, we don't want to look at World War II because I think we had a high of 16 million total. Obviously, some of it you were drafted, you didn't have a choice. But I'm looking at the era that is volunteer era and slightly prior to that. If you look at this chart, in the 50s during Korean War, we had a little over 3 million soldiers in the military. That's between 1950 to 53, a little over 3 million. Then if you notice the 70s, we went back above 3 million again. That's 3.5 million. That's the war that was going on with Vietnam, 1955 to 75. And then it dropped off, and then we go into the 80s, 90s, you're dealing with the Persian Gulf. We had roughly 2 million people in the military. And then today, we're the lowest we've ever been. We're at roughly 1.35 million people in the Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy, and Army combined. This is all active duty. So you may say, Pat, I don't know if that's a big, is that a big number compared to what? Let's look at the competitors. China. China's got 2 million. India's got 1.45 million. We have 1.3 million. North Korea's 1.2 million. Russia's got 850,000. Then it's Pakistan at 640. Iran's got 575. South Korea's got 555. Vietnam's got 470. And Egypt has 415. By the way, for some of you that want some fun fact type of thing, active and reserve, Vietnam's the most with around 5.5 million. They're really concerned if another Hiroshima happens again, so they want to make sure they stay paranoid. Now, let's look at some stats here. Today, nearly 80% of all Army recruits have a family member who served, meaning if I join, maybe it's like, my dad served, I want to do the same. My uncle served, I want to do the same. At the same time, the Department of Defense said that 77% of American youth are disqualified from military due to a lack of physical fitness, low test scores, criminal records, including drug use, or other problems. So if you don't have that big of an inventory and they're not qualified, what do you have to do? You either have to keep the standards the way it is or say, well, why don't we just lower the standards to get more people that get in? And then at the same time, in 2021, only 9% of young people ages 16 to 21 said they would ever consider joining the military.
How concerning is it this year representing the smallest active duty force since 1940? I mean, have the threats to our nation decreased?
Well, no, I think the global picture, and you and I have talked about this many times, I've never seen, certainly in my 30 plus years on active duty and the 10 years hence, that more of a what I would call a chaotic global picture with Ukraine and Russia, you know, Israel being attacked brutally by Hamas back on October 7th, and of course, China growing in their military capabilities and not necessarily just in the Asia Pacific region, but around the world. So it's a very challenging time. But nonetheless, as you indicated, we haven't had a draft since 1973. We have fell short. We fell short of our recruiting goals in 2023. My sources tell me for 2024, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, and the Space Force are it's likely they're going to meet their recruiting goals. The Navy is going to fall short about 6,000. But nonetheless, it is a national security issue that we are not meeting our recruiting goals. And it's going to have an impact on our military, not only for today, Natasha, but for many years to come.
So in knowing this information, we're assuming here, based on this, this is historic. This has not happened in decades. Why all of a sudden is this such of an importance? I believe it's because the United States is on the precipice of a possible three-front war against Russia, Iran, and China. If this was to occur, our nation's 50-year-old all-volunteer force requires a boost from a reinstated draft. And thus, this is why this has been pushed out there and hurried along. It was January 17th, 1973, when most American men from the ages of 19 to 25 years of age were able to celebrate President Richard Nixon's abolition of the draft. Defense Secretary Melvin Leard announced, quote, "I wish to inform you that the armed forces henceforth will depend exclusively on volunteer soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines." Even though Jimmy Carter later reinstated draft registration, American men have escaped mandatory military services for two generations because, listen to this, this is important here, millions of brothers and sisters that are patriots, and there's not a lot of them left, it seems like anyway, or at least they're being silenced. Millions were willing at one time to serve voluntarily. Thousands of these men were willing to lay down their lives for our country, but times have changed. Roughly around 2,324 military deaths occurred in Afghanistan, 3,917 U.S. contractor deaths. Iraq was equally closely to this number with 4,431 military lives lost and nearly 32,000 wounded. And that doesn't even include all the post-traumatic syndrome or PTSD that has occurred since then. The two 9/11 related wars took a toll on recruitment. And one of the major factors, according to The Hill, is a decline of patriotism in our country. According to a June Gallup poll, they discovered that only 18% of 18 to 34-year-olds say they, listen to this, they are extremely proud to be an American. I'm going to say that again. A recent poll, only 18% of 18 to 34-year-olds say they are extremely proud to be American. And there are numerous reasons why fewer young Americans are now enlisting. Back in August of last year, a 10-page bombshell article called A Call to Action, Lessons from Ukraine for the Future Force, was posted on Perimeters, which is an Army War College's quarterly journal. In this essay, it explained in detail why the 1970s concept of an all-volunteer force has outlived its shelf life and does not align with the current operating environment. According to Katie Crome and John A. Nagel, whose credentials cannot be lightly dismissed, wrote that, quote, the U.S. Army is facing a dire combination of a recruiting shortfall and a shrinking individual ready reserve. The shrink is alarming. Let me talk about that. The individual ready reserve, which stood at 700,000 in 1973 and 450,000 in 1994, today only stands at 76,000. Look at that number. Look at the drastic increase. 700,000, 1973, then it jumped from 1994. It dropped about 250,000. And then from 1994 to today, as of it stands, only 76,000. And again, these are individual ready reserves. These numbers cannot currently fill the existing gaps in the active force, let alone any casualty replacement or expansion during a, quote, large-scale combat operation. According to the report, reinstating the draft or partial conscription would unleash powerful social, political, and cultural shockwaves throughout America. After 50 years, any conscription, no matter how partial, would be off the charts contentious. And also, guys, here's something I want you to think about today. We are not the America that we were in 1994, and definitely not in 1971. America, the entire face of America, its culture has all shifted, and we are now a woke nation. And I'm telling you, there is parents out there that will tell you they are not willing to lay down their children as a sacrificial lamb and shed their blood for a woke America. They're just not doing it. And there's a large percentage of individuals who have this same notion. And the real question arises here. Why the timing of this? Again, I believe it's because we are on the precipice of multiple war fronts here. We're not, whether we like it or not, we are already involved in Ukraine. I'm going to give you a report out of Ukraine in a minute showing you that they're running out of resources. They're running out of lives willing to sacrifice their lives. And so they need replenished equipment. They need more troops. They need more bodies there. And then the question lies, are you as a parent and as a grandparent willing to sacrifice your children to defend Ukraine? And then we have the Middle East that is a tinderbox set to explode completely with Israel and all of the enemies in which they are facing. Then we have the China and Taiwan. We have that battleground that's brewing, and it's not a matter of if, but when China decides that they're going to fully invade Taiwan, and then no doubt we're going to be involved in that war as well. And then this doesn't even include North Korea as a threat. It doesn't include Iran. It's going to get in the middle of this. And of course, Russia is breathing down our neck, threatening to retaliate, threatening nuclear war, keeps using the N word. They have a nuclear powered sub. They have nuclear capable subs. They have ships. They have warships. They have all these things right there, right in our backyard, literally in the United States of America. And now, again, this new report is stating the House of Representatives has passed a measure that automatically registers men ages 18 to 26 for selective services. What a lot of people don't realize, when you read the fine print of this legislation, the Senate committee snuck a provision into this allowing women to be drafted as well. Now, this is from MSN.com. Look at this headline. Ukraine sends older soldiers to front, but Army needs young men. Hello, where do you think they're going to get those replenished young men at? Probably America. They're looking into this. No doubt about it, friends. Here's another article. Biden made a statement that the U.S. will not send troops, but will provide weapons. And remember, Putin warned about the United States supplying weapons to Ukraine to fight Russia. Now, this is the same guy that said that we would not be sending. Remember, I can pull up articles and show you where Biden said, oh, we're not going to get involved. We're not going to be sending weapons. We're not going to be sending jets. We're not going to be sending air fence defense systems. We're not going to be sending all that stuff to Ukraine. We're not going to, I can assure you, we're not going to do that. But guess what? Fast forward beyond what, 2 years now, we've gone into this war, or it's somewhere close to that. We're already doing that. So we've already crossed that threshold. So if you think I'm going to sleep at night in peace, assuring myself that Biden is going to keep his promises and not going to send our men and women, come on, young men and women, right there in the middle of this conflict in Russia and Ukraine, then friends, I choose not to be naive and ignorant about this, because I believe this is exactly what they've already got in mind. Again, if it's not one of these wars, it is literally World War III that we are preparing for here. Let's not kid ourselves. Here's another article from NBC News. Ukraine urgently needs new soldiers, but some left uneasy by brutal fighting and intensifying conscription efforts are desperately trying to avoid being called up. Quote, when you see people in uniform, you panic. You start thinking someone will mobilize you now against your will. A lawyer based in Kyiv told NBC News he did not want his identity known, fearful, like a growing number of men across the country, of being drafted into the army if his name is made public, just as Russia launches a wave of attacks to try to decisively seize the battle initiative. So here's men in Ukraine that don't even want to be involved in this war, praying, hoping they don't get caught up. Now, let me give you a different angle here. Could you imagine, let's be real here. Could you imagine, think about the 18 to 23-year-olds that we have right now. Think about this group of individuals, 18 to 26, excuse me, let me correct that, 18 to 26 years of age. Think about the generation of 18 to 26 that we're living in today. This type of generation, and think about them being on the firing lines, on the front lines, holding a rifle, defending the United States of America. Could you imagine this? Here's a great example. Let me show you an example of why, as an American citizen, I'm greatly concerned.
26% of Gen Z applicants, ready, bring their parents to the job interview. What? I can only imagine, hey, daddy, can you go to the job interview? No.
No.
You go and buy yourself to the interview. No. Hey, please hire my son. He's such a sweet little boy. I think he would be great for your company. Please. He's such a nice guy. And, you know, a survey by resume templates found that 26% of Gen Z respondents involved their parents in the job interview process, with 31% bringing a parent to an in-person interview, 29% having parents join a virtual interview of those with a parent.
I mean, we're all laughing at this, but this is insanity, guys. This is so sad. This is why I am deeply concerned for our country, guys. This is absolutely terrifying. You're kidding me? These are the people we're going to send on the front lines to defend your country? People that have to have their mom or their dad, a parent, in for a job interview because we got to hold their hand? This is absurd. This is ridiculous.
Parent at an in-person interview. 37% had their parent come into the office, and 26% had a parent sit in the room during the interview. In virtual interview, 71% had their parents off camera, and 29% had their parent visible, with many parents speaking directly.
What? Oh my God. That's so
that is, I would be like, are we really doing this?
Tell them about your GPA. Yeah. Tell them about your GPA.
Executive resume writer Andrew Stoner, great last name, commented, it does not signal confidence to a hiring company on behalf of the child, and recommended a help at a distance approach, advising parents to support and advise their children without direct involvement in the interview. Tom, thoughts on this crazy story.
This crazy story is focusing on the Gen Z, but I'm going to call out, you idiot parents, this is what you've done. You have turned out incapable, unprepared, emotionally anemic children. You've turned out. This is on you, parents. This is on you, divorced parents that didn't find a way to come together and help your kids. This is on you who let them just dive into social media, searching for likes and everything, and didn't develop social skills. So when they have to do something like, oh my goodness, have an integrated conversation with somebody and talk about your skills, talk about your likes, talk about your education, and have an intelligent conversation, your kids can't do it. I put this on the parents, and I think it's shocking and horrifying that we have 21-year-old citizens that are walking out right now among us without these skills. This is on the parents.
Can you imagine, Pat, like, listen, we're going to fire you. Go get your dad. Get your dad in here. We're going to fire you, but we want to do it in a nice
way. Yeah, as a boss, what do I say? Vinny, if you're late one more time, I'm calling your mom.
No, please don't tell her. Please.
No, but I think it's the other way around. I think it's kind of like, look, we want to have a conversation with you about your 90-day review.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good. I have to see if my dad's available.
Yeah, dad. Right,
excuse me?
My mom or my dad?
Yeah, I have to see if my dad and the mom's available.
Can they both come?
What are you talking about? To me.
Absolutely unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, do you laugh? Do you cry? Do you do both? What do you do here? This is just absurd. It's what we've come to. And then, I mean, how woke is this nation? How woke is America? Here's how woke it is. I'm going to show you another clip here. I was not aware of this. You can look it up. You can fact check it. It's all true. This is absolutely absurd as well. Listen to this.
So
check it out.
So here's what I did. And fathers, mothers, quick shout out to you before we get into all these stories. Rob, can you pull up this tweet? So, and I want to see how you're going to feel about this. If this upsets you, good, because it should. This is something I wrote a couple days ago. The madness with Pride Month has to stop. We have Father's Day one day. We have Mother's Day one day. Yet we have March, Bisexual Health Awareness Month, March 31st. Mm-hmm. International Transgender Day of Visibility, April 6th. Asexuality Day, first celebrated in 2021, April 26th.
So if you have no clue, April 6th is your day.
Yeah.
What happened, Tom?
I said, so if you have no clue, April 6th is your day so far.
International Lesbian Visibility Day. May 17th, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia.
What?
May 19th, a Gender Pride Day. May 22nd, Harvey Milk Day. May 24th, Pansexual and Panromantic Visibility Day. What does that mean? June, Pride Month, entire month. July 6th, Omnisexual Visibility Day. July 11th through the 17th, specifically, 1 week, Non-Binary Awareness Week. July 14th, International Non-Binary Day. July 16th, International Drag Day. August 14th, Gay Uncle Day. Verify this if you think it's a joke.
Gay Uncle.
September 16th through the 22nd, Bisexual Awareness Week. September 23rd, Bisexual Visibility Day. October, LGBT History Month. October 11th, National Coming Out Day. October 20th, International Pronoun Day. Jeez. October 24th, Asexual Awareness Week. November, Trans Awareness Month. November 6th, Transgender Parent Day. November 8th, Intersex Day of Remembrance. November 13th through the 19th, Trans Awareness Week. November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance. Are you tired yet? December 8th, Pansexual Pride Day. Folks, it's only June. We still have to go through these days for the rest of the year. 145, roughly, out of 365 days dedicated to LGBTQ, that's 39.7% of the year. Why? How did this make any sense? Meanwhile, we took God out from school.
Come on.
We took prayer out of school. We stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school because that's offensive. Seriously, who's better for a healthy society? Promoting LGBTQ or marriage? Pro-family unit, husband and wives? If this is controversial, America has lost its mind. If the agenda is not to procreate, pushing LGBTQ agenda suppresses that. Gay men cannot procreate, folks. Lesbian couple cannot procreate. No one cares if you're gay, lesbian, trans, or bi. What you choose to do with your body after you're 18 is your choice, and we'll respect it. But this agenda must be accounted for. Why our national birth rate is the lowest it's ever been. America would be a powerhouse again if we flipped the script, using 145 days to promote the pro-family and give LGBTQ a day out of the year. This is enough. that would get us back to 2.5 birth rate and produce a better society. Feel free to tear apart this argument, but if you support it, have the courage to comment and retweet. God bless. May God bless us all. Anyway.
And friends, that is exactly why our country's gone down the toilet. America is done. We are not the same country anymore. It's not getting better. And he put in there, if this offends you, of course it offends people. People will lose their minds over this if you don't agree with it. How much have we lost our minds? Did y'all see this story? This came out, this was recent today. I believe this was yesterday. This is in Los Angeles. I know you're shocked that this is coming out of California. See that sign right there? See that no U-turn sign? That now is offensive to the woke community. Listen to this.
L.A. City representatives are righting an old wrong in Silver Lake. Here it is. And it also do with street signs. Signs that read no U-turn. It came down today. The signs, in addition to no cruising signs, were posted in the 1990s by neighbors who were targeting LGBTQ community members.
So we're going to tear down road signs now. Statues come down. Now we're taking down road signs. What is left of America that they've not destroyed and picked apart and completely ruined at this point? This is unbelievable. I cannot believe we're even reporting this. It's so absurd. Listen to this.
It's no coincidence that these signs were put up after the LGBT community continued to grow more in the 90s here in Silver Lake. In fact,
sure, that was the reason why we put them up. Or could it be the fact that they put up a no U-turn sign to save lives so that when somebody tries to do a U-turn in ongoing traffic, they don't get T-boned and kill their family and the other people that's involved in it? I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that they had no idea when the city officials put up the no U-turn signs, they didn't have LGBTQ in mind when they were instituting these signs.
They were part of the reason they were probably put up was because there was an LGBT bar that was just literally down the street from the same area. It's good that we're trying, that we're finding the areas and the symbols within our own very city.
Look at this.
Areas in the symbol.
Yay. Look at this group here. Look at these people. What in the world here? We're celebrating this nonsense. This is just madness, guys. Absolute madness.
They were finding the areas and the symbols within our own very city that continue to have these hateful remnants of the past.
Who sees a no U-turn sign and sees that as hate, is offended by this, loses their mind over this, has a complete meltdown over this? Wow. And again, why is this significant, Brother Ricky? There's why it's significant. When the Bible tells us, oh, y'all ain't going to believe me, so I'm going to pull up some scriptures here. We got to pull up some scriptures. In Deuteronomy 28, which we have covered many times on these segments on this program, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, God tells us specifically that those nations that turn from him, abhor his commandments, disobey his statutes, turn to idolatry, serve other false gods, they will be stricken by curses. You can go through the whole list, the latter part of Leviticus 26, latter part of Deuteronomy 28. In Deuteronomy 28, easy to remember, Deuteronomy 28, 28. One of these curses is, read it right here in front of you. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. Pray and tell me that we are not seeing all across America, the West, madness, blindness, and confusion of heart. Let me read the rest of it. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. In other words, you can't even, nobody knows their way. Where are we going? Are we going left? Are we going right? Are we going up? Are we going down? Are we going forward? Are we going backward? Are we this? Are we that? What do we stand for? What does this mean? Who are we? He says, you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Oh, that's a good line right there. No one shall save you. The government's not going to bail you out. A politician's not going to bail you out. No, listen, none of these provisions are going to protect you. The U.S. military is not going to protect you from our enemies that are coming from without trying to invade us. None of these things are going to save us. The only individual that can save us is the Lord our God, and we have to turn back to him in order to do that, 2 Chronicles 7:14. So listen, for all the political people, the economical people, the military people, whatever the case would be, the stock market people, all the whatever you put your trust in. The Bible says some put their trust in chariots and horses, but deliverance is of the Lord. When we get this, we will see things turn around. But as long as we continue in the path that we're going, friends, I hate to tell you this, but the end game, let me show you the end game of where we're headed. Verse 34. Let me go to 33. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land. A nation whom you don't know. You don't know their language. You can't speak their language. They're going to come into your nation, your land, eat the fruit of your own land and the produce of your labor, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually, year after year after year, only get worse. You think you're losing jobs now? You think we're being overrun by illegals? You think all this stuff? It's only going to get worse. Verse 34, so shall you be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed. We're not there yet, but it's coming. That's a plague, friend. Pestilences. They're already telling us the bird flu. It's coming. A pandemic. Another one's coming. Disease X. It's coming. Another one's coming. And from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, the Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you. That would be the president. I'm talking to us in the West here, America specifically. The Lord will bring you and the king to whom you set over you to a nation which you neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. In other words, did you read that? Let me read that real slowly again for you. You, your children, hello, 18 to 26 years of age, and your leader will go into captivity and you'll serve their gods. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. In other words, all the nations of the world will look upon this once great nation. Now, I know this was in context. It was the nation of Israel. But friends, this is applicable to every nation that goes the way of Israel. Will reap the way of Israel. So this could be applicable to the West as well, or America. America continues in this path. They will be brought to their knees in destruction, overtaken with blindness, madness, confusion, chaos, pestilence, famines, plagues, disasters, boils, pandemics, all this be completely brought to nothing. And the nations of the world who once knew America as a great nation will now look upon them in astonishment, and America will be a proverb and a byword among all the nations. Come on, if I didn't get your attention yet, maybe that got your attention. All of this comes on the heels of yet another warning from a former FBI assistant director who says that he fears that we are on the very precipice of another 9/11 style, and he calls it 9/11 2.0. Here's more on that.
Counterterrorism specialists sounding the alarm of a possible terrorist attack right here in the United States, one they say could be worse than 9/11. A former FBI agent and Twin Towers first responder told the Daily Mail they blame the large number of unvetted foreign nationals entering through the U.S.-Mexico border. Last week, 8 Tajikistan nationals with ties to ISIS crossed the southern border, passed security checks, and were released before being arrested by ICE after an FBI tip. One of those specialists who predicts another 9/11 level attack is Chris Swecker, a former FBI assistant director of the Criminal Investigation Division. He joins us now. Mr. Swecker, good morning.
Good morning.
You served as a special agent for 24 years. What prompted you to sound the alarm now?
Well, I went through 9/11. I was in the higher executive levels of the FBI running a field office when 9/11 occurred, and I was sent to Iraq right after that in 2003. and saw, you know, terrorism and terrorist tactics up close and personal. And most people don't realize that terrorist organizations are after, they basically want to wipe out Western civilization. And that's no overstatement. So what we have now is we have created a huge risk down on the southern border. I mean, October 7th created risk. The intention was to spark conflict around the globe. It has done that. And we've already thrown open 1,800 miles of our border. We can't vet the people that come in. The situation with the 8 arrests last week shows that we are delayed vetting from individuals from special interest countries. So we're not vetting them as they come in. And we have created a huge gaping vulnerability down on the southwest border.
Yeah, Mr. Zucker, anyone who believes that not vetting these people isn't important or is a partisan issue should remember that those who committed the attacks on 9/11 all entered the country legally. So this shows the importance of actually knowing who is in this country and why. You say this also shows how easily bad guys can infiltrate America. But do we have any idea of what these so-called bad guys could be planning?
Well, no, I think we're blind on that. I mean, we made great strides in intelligence coordination between the agencies, in intelligence collection. We provided law enforcement intelligence agencies with a lot of tools. But that's all for naught if we just let people just come across the border without any type of vetting whatsoever. And in this case, we really don't have what I would have expected to see, which is a surge of FBI resources down on the border to interview and vet the people as they come across real time. Because we know this is a threat. You know, we spent all this time and money, created an $800 billion agency called Homeland Security, and yet we're just letting people just stroll across the border and infiltrate into the country.
Mr. Zucker, something else alarming you said, I have less than a minute, but I do want to get this from you. You stress that an explosive or gun attack is not a matter of if, but when. Can you elaborate on this, and what should the average citizen take away from this?
Yeah, the vulnerability. I mean, it doesn't take a lot now. A low-tech attack, two-man, four-man, can create chaos. It can create fear. And we don't need another they don't need to do another 9/11 grandiose type of attack. I mean, a low-tech attack will do exactly what terrorists hope to do, which is strike fear, try to instigate political change through violence in this country, and bring us to our knees.
Then we had this report. 6 Russian nationals with ISIS ties are arrested in New York, Philly, and L.A. One source fearing they were plotting a Boston Marathon bombing-type attack. So this goes right along with the former FBI director, what he's warning us. Here's more on that as well.
Sources tell ABC News 8 people from Tajikistan with suspects ties to ISIS have been arrested here in L.A., New York, and Philadelphia.
They crossed into the U.S. at the border with Mexico, and Eyewitness News reporter Jory Rand is live in the newsroom with the very latest. Jory.
Ellen, David, anytime you hear ties to ISIS and crossing the southern border illegally, you know something has gone terribly wrong. In this case, 8 men from Tajikistan are now in federal custody, believed to be tied to the deadly terrorist group. The 8 suspects, all hailing from Tajikistan, a recent hotbed of recruits for the terror group ISIS-K, illegally crossed the U.S. southern border late last year and early this year. They were apprehended, vetted and cleared, and released pending a court date. But in recent weeks, FBI intelligence uncovered information indicating the 8 men had ties to ISIS. So, in a joint operation, they were all arrested in Los Angeles, New York, and Philadelphia. They're now in federal custody, but because no crime had been committed, they're now awaiting deportation, not arrest for terrorism.
The vetting process is never perfect.
Retired FBI Special Agent Bobby Chacon says with so many people illegally crossing the southern border, the threat of a terrorist making it through remains high.
The threat level is the highest it's ever been, I think. And we've heard that from both the Attorney General and the FBI Director in recent congressional testimony. It's keeping them up at night.
Things are so bad, Chacon says, that he advises people stay vigilant as they go about their summer plans.
You have people ringing the alarm bells. People that have been in the counterterrorism business for a long time are ringing the alarm bell. And a lot of us are afraid it's just not being heard in Washington.
The New York Times reporting that about half of ISIS-K recruits are coming from Tajikistan. The investigation into these eight Tajiks involved a wiretap that reportedly captured talk of bombs, but there's no proof there was any plot put into motion, hence the lack of charges.
All right, so I know this is a lot to take in today. I told you we had a lot of information to cover on this program today. I was going through my journal, and I found there, because I know I've had a series of dreams, and I believe it with all my heart that all these dreams are one and the same event. I'm going to say that again. I believe all of the dreams that I had, one of these I shared Friday. I shared this dream about that Russian invasion I had back in 2015. Again, that's why I wanted you to go back and watch Friday night's podcast or go back and listen to that. Now, I want to share with you, let me share these two dreams, and they're dated, and I have all the journals to prove this. On December 23rd and 24th of 2018, I want to share, I had back-to-back dreams, literally went to bed one night, had a dream, went to bed the next night, and it was like I picked up where I left off, and I'm going to share this with you. On Sunday night, I had a dream in which my family and I was in a two-story home and heard what sounded like gunfire and explosions from outside. I quickly ran to the window to look outside to see what was happening. I was on the second floor of the home. When I looked outside, I saw multitudes in military gear with assault rifles and other weapons. I heard these men talking loudly in a language I did not understand. It was a foreign language. They were coming from every perceivable direction and were entering homes and was coming to ours. We quickly cut out all the lights and hid in the home on the upper floor and tried to remain quiet. In the dream, I saw a man in the hallway through a cracked door in which I was hiding behind. I saw his flashlight going in the hallway as we were entering other rooms, and then he came to the door of our room in which we were hiding. I saw him standing at the doorway with his assault rifle and began to enter the room that we were in, and I quickly woke up. I was quick to write off the dream, but then went to bed the following night and had another dream. I want to share that with you. In this second dream, we were all in our truck and the entire neighborhood. We were trying to get out of our neighborhood, but our entire neighborhood was under martial law and was filled with military vehicles and men with checkpoints everywhere. It was then after having two dreams back to back that I decided to journal this, write it down, pray over it, intercede over it, and hold on to this. And this is back in 2018. And here we are 6 years later. I had these back-to-back dreams. Then on September 20th, 2019, so this is a year later, I received another detailed and disturbing dream in the early hours of the morning. I was with a group of individuals as we were walking through some trails of what looked like the Appalachian Mountains or somewhere that had a lot of trees and thick foliage. It was a nice warm day, and as we were walking, we heard something above us, and as we looked up to see what it was, we saw a large missile coming down at an angle above us. The missile had the colors of Russia. This is stunning to me because these were the same colors that I saw in 2015 on the submarine and the vessels, the warships that were crossing and the aircraft that were coming in invading America. There was nothing left for speculation in this dream regarding whom the missile belonged to or who launched it. As we watched the missile struck probably about 5 miles in front of us to the right, suddenly, we experienced a huge explosion on impact, and the fire could be seen spreading towards us quickly. As we began to run in the opposite direction, another missile struck to the left of us, resulting in the same explosion and intense heat that I could literally feel burning my face in the dream. The fires began to close in on both sides, and we had no other choice but to begin to cry out to the Lord, and I awakened from the dream. Now you may say, why am I sharing all of this, guys? Because I'm calling on all prayer warriors and intercessors to please take these things serious. We are in very trying times. I believe that we, all of the evidence, I've laid out multiple articles, headlines, new intelligence reports. All of this is leading to the same conclusion, and that is everybody, all these nations, militaries, all of them are preparing for something huge. Now, I can't tell you when. I don't know if it's going to be weeks, months, years. I don't know. But I think I'm not alone on this to say this. But many, many, many others, number one, they feel the same way. Number two, they're getting dreams. They're getting visions. They're getting checks in their spirit. They've been getting warnings in their heart, in their spirit, when they're praying, when they're interceding. And all the watchmen, of course, the watchman sees what's going on. And they warn the people accordingly. So that's what we're doing today. This is not to stoke fear. This is not hyperbole. This is to provoke you and I to get in our prayer closet, pray and intercede, because we, again, we're living in very dark and trying times. And I fear for the next generation, because listen, there may be some of you, or many of you that are watching and listening, and you have a young man or young woman that are in that age group of 18 to 26 years of age, that once this thing is completely signed into place, which again, it passed, then, and if we were to go into a major military escalation, a war, if you would call it that, a world war, a third world war, then many of your sons and daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, nieces, nephews, will be sent into a battle, into a war that you vehemently do not agree with. So we, again, please pray about this continually. I'm not going to do a corporate prayer. We did that on Friday. So we're going to get ready to sign off for today. But I want you in your private time of prayer. Again, keep this in prayer. And of course, if we get more information on this, we'll share it with you guys. We're going to sign off for tonight. Tomorrow night, don't miss tomorrow night, Tuesday night, June 18th. There was a new report that came out that I thought was very, it's one of them intriguing reports that I want to share with you that proves the Bible. Again, it's all these discoveries and things that come out that, and we don't need that to believe in the Word of God. I believe in the Word of God without having some archaeologist confirm or dig up something that confirms something that happened 2,700 years ago, 3,000 years ago, or whatever the case may be. But when it does happen on occasions, it really builds your faith, and you can help use those tools and use those reports as a point of reference to share as an evangelical tool to help reach the lost in your job or your family, your friends, or whatever the case may be. Listen, guys, I need you to do me a favor. Hit the like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. And listen, we have a free app. Wanted to encourage you today, if you don't have it yet, go to the Apple Store, go to your Android Store, pick it up today. Hit yes once you download it. And by the way, if you're watching this visual by YouTube, by Rumble, or however you're watching this, under the description of this video, there's a link. It says download our free app. Click on the link, and it's going to take you right there. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, pick it up today. Once you download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to have everything right there at your fingertips. Every podcast, every quippy message, every headline, everything's going to be right there. And of course, you'll be blessed by that. And listen, if this ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you week after week after week, I want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. It's through your generous support that we're able to continue to do what we do. Listen, we don't sell merchandise. No t-shirts, no cups, no. We don't charge you, you know, any kind of fee for our website. We don't charge you for the free app. We don't charge you for anything. Freely we received, we freely give. So that, come on, it's all about souls. But if you'd like to partner with us, listen, when Peter was pulling up a net and he had so many fish that he could not pull in the catch, because it was so great, the Bible says he beckoned for partners to come and help him pull in a net. And that's what we're doing today. You can help us by your financial contribution, your support, your partnership. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website right there on your screen. It's easy to do. Or you can give by check or money order. And you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And that's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. We thank you for your all of our partners. You know who you are, your generous support, your prayers, your intercession, all of this. And we're going to be excited to come right back here tomorrow night, Lord willing, on June 18th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place, same channel. So until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.